So, yeah, I know some of you are looking at the title of the show here today, and the title is Liberalism and Christianity, and you're saying, oh no, Zender's getting into politics. He doesn't know anything about politics. He's stupid politically. We just want to hear him talk about the scriptures, talk about God. Stick with what you know, Zender. Well, that's very kind of you. I appreciate that. But I'm going to make a point about Christianity. I'm going to make a point about the Spirit of God. I'm going to make a startling point by the end of this talk. It has to do with thinking. It has to do with reason. It has to do with God being a logical being. This was the thrill for me when I started ordering materials from the Concordant Publishing Concern. I mean, first of all, when I first saw their order form in 1983, 84, I said, are you kidding me? The titles were so thought-provoking. It's like, does Satan have a free will? The outcome of infinite grace. The meaning of death. All these amazing topics, like people actually ask these direct questions, and crazier yet, there are answers to them. And when I got this material, what thrilled me was that for the first time in my life, a body of truth was presented to me that did not clash with my intellect, that did not ask me to hang my brain on the door before I went in. There wasn't a sign in front of the building that said, no thinking allowed here. Just believe what we tell you. In fact, one of the writers of Unsearchable Riches magazine, in fact, one of the founders of Unsearchable Riches magazine was Vladimir Gelesnov, a Russian scientist who had a keen intellect and who would just write brilliantly on the eons, on the two evangels, on the Greek word translated hell, all these wonderful things that satisfied me. And then I realized when I got the Concordant version that the translation, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2:7, first the natural, afterwards that which is spiritual. It's a mistranslation in the King James Version and the New Incoherent Version, the NIV. It's the soulish man is not receiving the things of God. And that leads me seamlessly, to my topic. The soulish man, it's the emotional person that's not receiving the things of God, not the natural man. There's, you see, nothing wrong with nature. But you get that idea with the natural man is not receiving the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. Bad translation. What does that make you think? Makes you think that I got to become unnatural in order to get this. My nature is wrong. And so you throw out your brain. You throw out your logic. You throw out your bodily functions, really. So hunger is wrong. Sexual need is wrong. My need to take a nap is wrong. Anything natural. Eat, drink, and do marry. Anything that's natural is wrong. But no, that's a mistranslation. It's soulishness. Soulishness is a disposition that relies first and foremost on the five senses. It reacts to stimuli. All right, it is said that the default setting of humanity, if left alone, will be liberalism. Liberalism as a political philosophy is a philosophy of feeling. It's a philosophy of having good intentions, of really engaging the emotions, looking at the situation in the world, and being, by default, idealistic. There's no cause and effect with liberalism. Liberalism doesn't pursue effects, doesn't pursue results, just pursues feeling that I care. I think that the poor should have more. I think people should be happy. I think people should have more money. I think, I want, I wish. And this is the default setting of humanity because it's easy to think this way. Of course, the human, being a victim of inertia, will take the road most traveled by and fall into the rut that makes everything easier. To think outside of that emotional, I care mentality, you have to do just that. You have to break out of it by thinking. And as soon as you begin thinking, you start asking yourself, does the good thought, does the noble, idealistic conception, does that translate to reality? How would it translate to reality? And as you start to look at it, you realize, oh, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So then you start to analyze data and you see that feeling doesn't translate to practical action. You become a thinker, but in order to become a thinker, again, you have to break out of this default setting. And I'm making a comparison with religion because I find it's the same way. In order to show you that, I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine. She is a millennial. That is, she's, I don't know strictly the years of the millennials, where they're born somewhere around between 95 and 2000. Anyway, one evening she wanted to show me a video. She said, this is the video that got me political. And she considers herself political. She says, this is the video that really set me on my way. So I'm thinking she's going to show me a talk someone gave at a university or some kind of, a speech. Someone articulating their philosophy. No, instead, it was a musical video from some popular group in the 90s. I don't know what it was because I dropped out of the music scene in the 90s. I was too busy raising a family. And this video was some hard-driving, squeaky music. And the image, it was just images, like fast images from the Vietnam War era. There's a picture of Nixon. There's hippies giving the peace sign. There's LBJ, there's MLK, there's Robert Kennedy lying on the ground assassinated, there's Jane Fonda and all these political images. That's all it was. People protesting, carrying signs, and I'm waiting for something like a message to flash or something because I like to think, well, what's the message here? So the video ended and she was like all aglow. It's like, that's what did it for me. I said, well, I asked her, I said, what's the message of that video? Like what? And I asked her this, I said, well, you say you're interested in politics, what's your political philosophy? How do you think government should regulate people? What degree? How do you think that politics should be implemented that will actually help people? And she was completely dead silent at this point because she did not have a single political thought or philosophy. If she did, she couldn't articulate it. It was all mood. It was all, I'm involved. I'm political. And it's the image of caring. It's the social justice warrior type mentality where you want to look as though you care. You want to look as though you're involved. But if any such person, for instance, you see people on protest lines carrying signs, put a microphone in front of those people, ask them why they're there. Most of them don't even know why the hell they are even there. They don't know. They don't know what they believe. They don't know why they're there. They can't articulate what they're objecting against. They can't articulate what they're supposedly for. They're just showing up. They're on the scene and they're involved. But that translates into nothing practical. This is where we get the term for the millennials, the snowflake generation. They're snowflakes. A snowflake is a very delicate, intricate, beautiful little thing until you apply an ounce of heat. Then it melts. It can't be analyzed. You can't ask it questions. You can't bring any sort of discomfort to it because it disappears so quickly. Because its crystalline, beautiful nature depends on it not being disturbed. It depends on it having philosophies and having ideas that are untested, unfounded, and probably untrue. And so it gets one out of one's comfort zone to be pushed, to be asked questions. And this friend of mine, she admitted, I cannot handle logical argument. I mean, this is one of the rare people, God bless this girl, that she actually so honest enough to admit that I just can't handle. She goes, this is how I answer arguments. I just say, "F you," and I walk away. That's what she actually said that. She said, yeah, when somebody puts me in a position where I have to explain myself and I get confused, I don't know what I believe, I just say, "F you," and I walk away. That's how she ends arguments. Perfect. I can't believe somebody was that honest. Now let's go to Christianity. Christianity is the religious manifestation of liberalism in the political world. It's the default setting because all you have to do is be part of the cause. All you have to do is look like you care and say the words that you care. God loves everyone. I want everyone to know Jesus. And you show up at a church with the masses, just like at a political rally. You just show up because it's fashionable. And you sing songs that can go 10 different ways. Everything's vapid. Nothing has a distinct meaning. And again, you just want the world to know that you care. You wear a cross around your neck. Same with these stupid millennials that wear these t-shirts with revolutionaries on them, Castro or whatever. It's so popular to look like you're politically advanced where you don't follow through to find out what dictators have done. Che, that type of thing. What these people have done, how their philosophy manifests itself in the real world, what happens when you get beyond the theoretical, things go bad. And then you start, if you get pushed out of that, you must start thinking. But that takes work, that takes effort. That's why it's not the default setting. People who think become conservatives in the political realm. In the religious realm, people who think become believers in the evangel. But before they do that, they just go with the flow. You wear a cross. I believe in Jesus. That's why it's so popular, right? Even Madonna wears cross earrings. All the big rappers with their bling and all their crap they wear. It's really fashionable to be religious. But if you press a Christian for details, like why do you believe what you do? And what is the practical result of believing in the dual heresy of free will and eternal torment? They basically say, "F you," and they walk away. But their version of that is, it's just a mystery, don't press me. For instance, you ask them about the Trinity, and how can Jesus be God, God be God, and the Holy Spirit be God, and yet there's one God? Well, my friend in the political realm would say, "F you," and walk away. In the religious realm, they say, "It's a mystery," and they walk away. Same thing. Ba-bum. It's a mystery. Here's the shock. You would think that Christians, since they are just religious social justice warriors, they have ideals but no thoughts. They have feelings, but no practical mind that looks at cause and effect. You would think that they would be liberals. You would think that Christians would be liberals because the mindset is the same. It takes no work. It takes no intellectual exercise. It takes no comparison of empirical data. It doesn't analyze facts at all, and it doesn't need to articulate what it believes. It could just believe it and just believe it and go with the flow, do the mainstream thing. So if what I'm saying is true, and it is, then Christians should be liberals. The strange thing we find is that Christians are conservatives, generally speaking, and liberals are atheists. That's really intellectually easy. Jeez, an atheist. Whew! Ha! Talk about inertia. Good God. So why aren't Christians liberals? How is it that they can think in the political sphere? They can think and see the results of centralized government. They're not so stupid to wear revolutionary t-shirts to try to be cool, try to make a political statement. They know better, but yet they are Christians. Here's my conclusion. Christianity as a religion is so powerful, it's so seductive, that it will take a person who can think logically, who will make the effort to analyze facts and data and systems and look at cause and effect in the real world, in the political world. They can do that. But as soon as they cross the threshold of a house of worship, they lose their freaking minds. They turn a channel. Something switches off where they take their brain that works in the real world, in the world of cause and effect, and they completely abandon it in the theological setting. I had a friend that did this. He worked for like Motorola. He made satellites. Smartest guy in the world. And yet when it came to religion, he was the stupidest guy. He didn't know any practical thing about God. He believed all the mysteries. Free will, God's sovereignty, they can both be true. What? How can God be in control of everything and a human have a sovereign realm of existence? Well, it's just a mystery. Yeah, I got it. F*** you. How can there be three gods and one at the same time?
Tim?
Oh, it's just a mystery. This genius guy became a nut. He became a snowflake. He became a millennial. And not all millennials are like this. I'm just saying that's the general flow of that generation. Generation Z is turning out quite different. Generation Z realizes that they want to be rebellious. They want to, like every generation does. And here's the weird thing. The new rebellion now is to be conservative. Conservatism is the new counterculture. It used to be in the 60s that those the hippies rebelled against the man. Now, liberalism is the man. They're the ones telling people that you can't say certain things. They're the ones saying Donald Trump is bad for talking about what he did in the Access Hollywood tape. They've become the man. The hippies of the 60s have become the man. And if you want to rebel against that, you have to start thinking, and you become conservative in the political sphere. In the spiritual sphere, if you want to be a rebel, if you really want to be cool, if you really want to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing, you get the hell out of the churches. You get the hell out of organized religion. And you become a thinker. And you start to listen to people who tell you that the Bible wasn't written in English. Jesus Christ never said the word hell in his life. But where did he say? Now we're getting somewhere. Yeah, now we're getting somewhere.